Looking for the perfect gift for the gun owner on your list? Alien Gear Holsters is proud to offer the most comfortable, concealable holsters on the planet. Each American-made holster is built by hand, including the award-winning Cloak Tuck 3.0. This holster is made with a comfortable form-fitting neoprene and spring steel core for enhanced retention. Its slim profile and tuckable design is perfect for concealed carry. Purchase the most advanced holster for just $43.88. Looking for the gift that keeps on lifting? Alien Gear Holsters now offers a full line of steel-reinforced leather gun belts. Crafted with premium leather, these gun belts will support the full weight of your firearm with zero signs of sag. Pair one up with a holster and save $15. Every Alien Gear holster is backed by an ironclad triple guarantee. This promise includes a forever warranty, a 30-day test drive, and free holster shell trades for life. Conceal in comfort for as low as $29.88 at AlienGearHolsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark Walters. Please enjoy this encore presentation of Armed American Radio and Happy New Year.
Right now it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, I'm going to take a sip of my... This is not a Ninja decaf iced coffee. It's not even a Ninja coffee. I'll tell you what, that thing has saved me a ton of money. And I don't do business with Ninja. They don't broadcast with it. They don't pay for anything. They're not advertising. But I'm telling you, go get one of those things. I'm never paying $6 for a cup of coffee ever again. I know, stupid to do that anyway. But look, you got to, I like that stuff. I really do. So, you know, I'm sorry. But I do. I like it. Anyway, I'll just take a sip of cold water here. Signs mean nothing. No food or drink in studio, right? Any sign can be ignored. Hey, Greg, why don't you jump on here? Let's let the world know that Shanto is not here today. Greg, how you doing?
Doing just fine.
You ready to have some fun today?
Absolutely. I'm always ready to have fun.
Was your mic live when you said I'm looking at one now?
No.
Okay, here's what I heard in my headset. After I said, no food or drink in studio, signs mean nothing. In my ear, I heard, looking at one right here. Greg, you have that sign on your studio door, don't you?
Just every studio door in this building has that.
Every studio I've ever been in has one. Hold on a second. Let me take a sip of my ice water. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm going to get a sip of my coffee real quick.
You have coffee in there?
Yes, I do.
Do those signs carry the weight of law in Texas?
Like speed limits.
Point being, you know, I had country music sensation Mark Wills. He's such a great guy. He's a good friend. He lives right down the street from me. We live in the same neighborhood. So I see him frequently, including out and about. Last time I ran into him was at Best Buy, okay? Mark is multi-platinum. And he was in the studio with me when I was broadcasting from AM Talk 920 WGKA. This was a number of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And he had a drink sitting in the studio, and there was a sign on the door, no food or drink in studio. And I said, you better not spill that, brother. I said, you are multi-platinum, right? He said, yes, sir, I am multi-platinum. Now, I just played that recording a few weeks back, so I hope you, if you didn't hear that, the point being, no guns allowed signs are as worthless as no food or drink in studio signs. Hold on, let me take a sip of water. Greg, that's not lost on you, right?
No, absolutely not.
All right. And I want to get your opinion on something, too.
All right.
Earlier in the week, I've got a lot of email that was coming in all week long, and I had spent quite a bit of time talking about Ohio State University. You know the terror attack that occurred there a couple weeks back, right?
Yes.
This was a guy following the ISIS playbook, driving a car into a crowd, exiting the vehicle, slashing with a knife. He was taken out by what? A cop with a gun.
Surprisingly, yes.
Surprisingly, he was taken out by an armed individual. And it doesn't matter if that individual were wearing a uniform or not. It makes no difference. We have a case in Florida, probably the greatest human interest story I've ever seen, at least in many, many, many years. It should have been covered by all mainstream media outlets, and that was a concealed carry permit holder, a black man, in Florida, down in Fort Myers, outside Fort Myers, Lee County, Florida, who saw alongside an interstate exit ramp off of I-75 a deputy on his back being beaten by a black motorist. The officer was screaming for assistance. The law-abiding citizen, a black man with a concealed handgun license in Florida, concealed weapons permit in Florida, because you can carry anything with it, exited his vehicle, pointed his firearm at the individual, yelled three commands, stop, stop, stop your actions, three times. The cop was screaming, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him, and he did. Interestingly, the black guy shot the black perp who was beating a white cop. None of this made national news. None. My point being, it doesn't mean that this doesn't matter if the cop had a uniform on or not. At Ohio State University, a law-abiding citizen could have done the same thing. Greg, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Right place, right time?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the whole point. Well, the president of Ohio State University came out, and I forget his name. I quoted him a few days back, and he said, because Ohio just passed a very lame bill, but we'll call it, you know, concealed carry on campus bill, but it has no teeth because the university can say no to the bill, so it really doesn't do anything.
Right.
We've passed campus carry. You can carry guns on campus, you law-abiding citizens with Ohio concealed carry permits, as long as the university says it's okay. Now, I ask you, Greg, what university that bans guns now is going to say, oh, yeah, well, let's bring them on now because the bill doesn't force them to do that? The answer to that, of course, is going to be none. Now, there will be some universities who will allow firearms on campus, but the vast majority, like Ohio State and others, will not. So the bill has no teeth. In response to the passage of that bill, Greg, the Ohio State University president said, look, you know, we just had an armed cop with a gun, you know, that prove why guns aren't necessary on campus. We just had a guy with a knife running into a crowd, shot and killed by a campus police officer, which that statement makes zero sense to me at all. Makes no sense to me at all. Mike Brannick sends me an email and says, could the Ohio State University president have meant you didn't need guns on campus because the campus police were so quick in responding? It worked this one time, at least. It's like the Army general who said the military didn't need to authorize concealed carry on base because police responded in just 8 minutes to the Fort Hood attack. 8 minutes of murder. I guess that was acceptable losses. The point here being, yeah, that is probably, in fact, what he meant. I thought that. But again, I go past it. It still makes no sense for him to say that. Here's why. Because the president of the Ohio State University is damn well aware that the average police response time is far greater than 30 seconds. This was a bizarre case of on the spot at the right time. Average police responses are anywhere from 2, 3, 4 minutes up to 7, 8 minutes, depending on where you are. Think of the damage that could have been done were it a normal case. So the response makes no sense either way. Greg, did you follow that?
Absolutely.
Makes sense to you?
Yes, it does. And I can see a few universities in Texas kind of ignoring any kind of law that will restrict firearm possession on campus, especially if it's a federal law.
In Texas, Texas law has teeth. You can't opt out. And that's what Ohio should have done. Alas, they didn't. Some are saying, well, it's a place to start. And one good positive about the Ohio bill, as I talked about last week, I won't spend too much time on it here today. I just wanted to get that email out there, was, in fact, that others can't be taken. The employers portion of the bill, who must allow employees to keep guns in their firearms should they carry a gun with them while on their property. That did have teeth. It didn't say, yeah, now you have to do it. Well, unless your employer says no. Which is essentially what they did with campus carry. Again, reminding you that we're talking about law-abiding citizens. We are not talking about criminals. Criminals couldn't care less about the no-gun sign anyway. A criminal wanting to commit workplace violence because he's angry at his boss because he got fired or whatever, or he got, you know, maybe he was having it, whatever it is, isn't going to care about the employer's rule against guns and vehicles in the parking lot, Greg, is he?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
This is just pure common sense. All right, I promise you I am going to get to the Jorick Landry story today. I've been teasing you that all week. It was a very difficult story for me to hear. It was even harder for me to interview Mr. Landry a number of years ago. It was even harder to write it. It took me quite some time because it was so difficult. And it's even harder to tell. But tell it I will. in the second half of the program today. I want to start and, if you will, this segment, reach into the next segment. And this is, if you have not read this, let me send you to chapter 20, the infamous chapter 20 in the late Robert Boatman's book, Living with Glocks. Have you read this? Have you read it?
No.
If you have not, Greg, have you read it?
No, I haven't.
You've not read it?
No.
Listener, if you haven't read it, I suggest, highly recommend that you do it. You don't even have to buy the book if you want to be cheap about it. You don't want to buy the book Living with Glocks, which you should anyway, because it's about a lot more than just Glocks. It's about the responsibility you have to carry a firearm and talks about why Glock is his favorite weapon to do just that. But the book itself and the infamous chapter 20, infamous for a number of reasons. A lot of people thought it was very, very bold for him to say what he said, and it was. But I'll tell you a little story about Robert Boatman. I enjoy talking about this. We lost Bob Boatman back in April of 2009, passed away suddenly in Idaho. And all of us as gun owners, concealed carry permit holders, those of us in the firearms community, gun writers, gun magazines, and law-abiding people everywhere lost a true warrior. Not to mention his family lost a brother, father, dad, and his son was carrying the torch. I'll tell you that story when we come back, and I'll tell you about the story, the social obligation and responsibility to carry a gun, chapter 20, Living with Glocks, when we come back. Don't go away.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
Alien Gear Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holsters on the planet, is offering big savings with our new two-holster combo. Now you can buy two complete holsters for as little as $49.88. Choose from any available holster styles and colors for the guns of your choice. All of Alien Gear's quality products are made right here in the USA and include a 30-day trial, forever warranty, and free shell trades for life. Visit AlienGearHolsters.com today.
Hello, gun lovers. Did you get the brand new gun you wanted for Christmas? If not, don't worry. I've got some big news for you. You know, I proudly support the Second Amendment, which is why I'm a United States Concealed Carry Association member. And since the USCCA's mission is to train, protect, and ensure responsibly armed Americans, just like you and me, they're giving 10 of my listeners $1,500 each to buy a brand new Kimber. But this deal won't last long, so make sure you head over to DefendThem.com. Lock in your 10 chances to win. If you didn't get your dream Kimber for Christmas, I know you're not going to want to miss out on the biggest Kimber giveaway yet. Remember, 10 names will be drawn, so that means 10 U.S. residents, 21 and over, will walk away with $1,500 to buy a brand new Kimber. Entering is easy, and it's 100% free. Just visit DefendThem.com before it's too late. Again, that's DefendThem.com, where your 10 chances to spend $1,500 on your dream Kimber are about to end. DefendThem.com.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right. In what seems like a galaxy far, far away, from a time long, long ago, I read the book I referenced in the previous segment titled Living with Glocks by legendary, and I do mean legendary, late author Robert Boatman. He was a lot of things, but he was one of my favorite writers. In that book, Living with Glocks, Robert reminded us, readers, gun owners, potential gun owners, in his very unique bombastic style that became his character. It defined his writing. It defined who he was. It is who he was. He simply wrote as he was. He reminded us that we have not only a constitutional right, but also a social obligation to carry a firearm. Chapter 20 is one of the most important chapters of any book I've ever read. And it is titled The Constitutional Right and Social Obligation to Carry a Gun. The book, again, is titled Living with Glocks. As far as I'm concerned, it should be required reading for every high school kid in America. Maybe make it part of a history class. Maybe make it part of social studies. Maybe make it a part of what all kids should be taught, and that's marksmanship. We should bring that back. And Robert's piece should be a part of every one of those classes. He's got a lot of books out. Living with the Big 50, Living with the 1911, Living with Glocks, etc. But Chapter 20 in Living with Glocks has been instrumental in a number of lives, my own included. Tim Schmidt, the founder of the USCCA, will tell you that that chapter was very important to him years ago. But to me, it was personal. Early on, when I began writing for the U.S. Concealed Carry Association and the venerable publication Concealed Carry Magazine, at the time a very fledgling organization and a fledgling magazine with a very small circulation at the time, Robert Boatman was also a regular columnist for the magazine back then. And the guy took me under his wing. I don't really know why. I reached out to him a couple times to ask him some questions about my writing style at that time. And he was all too eager to respond back and tell me that he enjoyed what I was writing and he enjoyed my writing style. We began exchanging emails over the years, and his correspondence with me was huge because I viewed him as a god in the gunwriter world. For some reason, he liked me, and that meant a lot to me personally and professionally. He told it like it was, unfiltered. And I would like to think that I took something away from him, both speaking to you on radio, which I feel pretty good about, confident about, get a lot of emails to that effect, and hear a lot from program directors around the country. So I believe that the program comes off the way it's intended to, the way I intend it to. And I learned some of that from Robert. Not to wear a filter, but to let it rip. So I'll tell you something that I did yesterday, and this is funny. And I'm not sure what made me do it. This was last night. My mom and dad came over, they do every year, to watch the Polar Express with my kids. It's a family thing. I had some other things going on yesterday at the time they got over, made a big old pot of chili. When they started watching the Polar Express, I don't know what made me do it, but I went over to my self-defense library here at Armed American Radio Ranch, and I pulled off the shelf Living with Glocks. So in true holiday fashion, I want you to get the visual, right? Theater of the mind. Here I am in my PJs. I poured myself a Maker's Mark Kentucky bourbon whiskey. Neat. No ice to all you rookies. Flipped open the recliner, tossed a blanket over myself, curled up in front of the roaring fire with my dog at my feet. Christmas tree lit up, decorations around the house, family nearby watching the Polar Express. And I flipped to chapter 20 in Living with Glocks. I read it twice. I guess maybe the only thing that would have topped that off would have been if my wife walked up to me and said, "Hey, honey, you look so comfortable. Why don't you go ahead and smoke a big, giant Padron Siri 1962 cigar here in the house while you read that, right?" Not going to happen. But, you know, I set the book on the coffee table. I stared towards the fire. You know, I pondered about what I had just read. And it dawned on me why it's so important. I'm going to read you just a piece of it. And if you carry a firearm, if you're thinking about carrying a firearm, I want you to listen to these very prophetic words from the late Bob Boatman. He was talking about some infamous mass murders in the United States, and he wrote this about the victims who were killed. All of the people involved in these incidents were in a profound way responsible for their own deaths or the deaths of loved ones. They were equally responsible for the deaths of innocents who dared associate with them, and by abstract extension, for the deaths of everyone ever killed in similar circumstances. Anti-gun laws and policies are always complicit in the execution of innocents, and it's appropriate that survivors are always ashamed of their inadequacy. In the final analysis, to face evil with impotence, whether out of cowardice or feeble-mindedness or submission to foolish laws, could well be responsible for the death of society. Maybe you remember the Wendy's murders, execution murders in New York City a few years back. Boatman said, "A scenario almost identical to that of Wendy's in New York began to unfold at Shoney's restaurant in Anniston, Alabama. Two armed robbers took over the restaurant, which was filled with 24 customers and several employees, and started to herd everyone into the restaurant's walk-in refrigerator. But this time, a smart employee, Thomas Terry, drew his concealed 45 and shot both of the bad guys before this particular mass execution could take place. In a matter of seconds, one criminal lay dead, the other incapacitated, and more than 24 innocent people had been handed back their lives thanks to a man who had a gun and was not afraid to use it. Thomas Terry, bleeding from a grazing wound to the hip, was happy to play hero with so many lives at stake. And still they ask, why do you carry a gun? What are you afraid of? Do you think some nut is going to drive through the wall and start shooting everybody? A.K.A. Luby's Cafeteria, Killeen, Texas. Do you think a couple of hardened criminals are going to shove you in the refrigerator and execute you? Wendy's in New York. To which you can only reply, do you think when you walk out of here and cross the street, you're going to be hit by a truck? Only when the custom of carrying a gun once again achieves its deserved high level of social legitimacy and political priority will this country get back on the track of respect for human freedom and dignity that has set it apart from the rest of the world for two centuries." This is part of chapter 20. And I think about that often at this time of year, as millions of Americans are out in soft targets, being targeted by radical Islamic terrorists who want us dead, who today have warned us that they're coming after our churches. I suggest you read it. We'll be right back.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
That was prophetic stuff, wasn't it? You like that Bob Boatman stuff? Greg, how about you, brother? You like that?
Absolutely. It was good stuff.
I sent you the link. I won't tell listener where you can go to get. It's out there. Just Google it up. I want you to get more of his stuff. His work is great. But I want you to read that chapter 20. As millions more gun owners today than there were prior to Bob's passing. We lost him too soon, at a very young age. These are words as concealed carry licenses have exploded, as constitutional carry has exploded, as more people pack training classes around the nation. These words are more important than ever. They're timeless. And they're hard-hitting. Think about that. Only when the custom of carrying a gun once again achieves its deserved high level of social legitimacy and political priority will this country get back on the track of respect for human freedom and dignity that has set it apart from the rest of the world for two centuries. How do we get back on that track? We take the offense. It's been handed to us. We worked very hard for it. We won it. They lost. We've been right all along anyway. There really wasn't a battle of ideology. It was just a media battle. Who had the loudest voice is really what it was. There's no debate. We won the battle because we've always been right. You already know that. But they've been castrated. Lobotomized. Think One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Their argument has failed. The voters have spoken. And we're in a position now to do what Bob was asking us to do. Or telling us what should happen, anyway. We're on our way to being able to achieve that. So you need to read that. Really, really good stuff. Jorick Landry. My first book, Lessons from Armed America. By the way, I'm in the middle of penning a third book right now. I won't tell you what it is yet. But my first book, Lessons from Armed America, I wrote a story, a difficult story, and I called it Because I Needed the Money. But it wasn't written for the book. It was actually written for Concealed Carry Magazine a number of years ago. But the story was so powerful that it needed a bigger audience. More of us needed to hear it. Because it has everything. Everything that makes a great love story a great love story. Everything that makes Gone with the Wind, Gone with the Wind. Everything that makes the Terminator, the Terminator. Everything that makes the Outlaw Josie Wales, the Outlaw Josie Wales. Everything that makes the Godfather, the Godfather. It has the drama, the ups, the downs, the love, the pitfalls, death, pain, suffering, perseverance, victory. It has it all. Because it has it all, it made it extremely hard to write. And I've written some difficult stories about people who found themselves in very difficult situations. Some of them had a gun to get out of it. Some of them, to this day, wish they had a gun. But this goes way, way back. The young lady by the name, let me switch my glasses here. Young lady by the name of Maria Harris. Used to work at the USCCA when the USCCA was Maria Harris and Tim Schmidt. And she had gotten a phone call. Someone had contacted her. It was a firearms trainer down in Jacksonville, Florida. His name was Eric Williams. He had an incident that he wanted to pass on to the magazine. And because this type of story was right up my alley, it was given to me. So I contacted him by email and then spoke by phone with Eric the following week. And he proceeded to tell me one of the most devastating accounts of criminal viciousness that I had ever heard. In fact, and I wrote this in my book, it was so devastating, I feared publishing it. for lack of my ability to do it justice that the family deserved by my telling it. Jorick Landry wanted his family story told. And I was honored, after talking with Eric Williams, to be chosen by Jorick to be able to tell it. But like I said, I didn't know that I was capable and skillful enough to do the family justice. Well, I followed up with some readings of the Jacksonville, Florida Times Union newspaper accounts and some police reports to confirm everything. Then I spoke with Jorick Landry himself. So I'm going to take you back to May 2006 in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, if you carry a gun for self-defense or if you're even thinking about it, I want you to listen. I want you to keep in mind what you heard from Robert Boatman, Living with Glocks, in that incredibly prophetic and very powerful clip, two of them, quotes that I gave from that infamous Chapter 20. When you hear this, Jorick was a U.S. Navy sailor, and he was getting ready for another deployment. And if you know anything about this, I lived in Virginia Beach a long time, knew a lot of pilots, sailors. These guys go out on deployment, they pull out of port, they're gone for months and months at a time, 6 months at a time. So I know about it. I have family that did the same thing. So it's something I've heard before. Jorick was concerned, of course, there's a lot of preparation for the family that he's leaving behind. Wife and mom takes on all the responsibilities. Who's going to cut the grass? Little things you don't give much thought to. The banking, the bills, protection of the home. And this became an issue with the Landry family. And he told me that the crime rate in his area was becoming of greater concern for him. So through a tremendous amount of discussion and some soul searching with his wife, they agreed that the family would keep a firearm at home for self-defense during his absence at sea. Smart move, right? His wife, Vernalise, and he, as his deployment was drawing closer, decided to take and attend a CCW class after they saw one of Eric Williams' instruction course advertisements. So Jorick and Vernalise signed up for the class. They attended the class on a Saturday afternoon on April 30th, 2006. April 30th, these dates are important, because I told you I was going to take you to May of 2006. So they were taught the Florida statutes. I ragged the Florida concealed carry course yesterday. As far as I'm concerned, it's bogus. They went through the statutes. Most people don't learn a whole lot unless they take an NRA course or a USCCA course or something that is much lengthier and certifies and can still be used for the permit. But the Florida basic class you get at gun shows and everything basically just goes through the stuff. Eric taught them a lot more than that. He taught them much more than that. He took them to the range. They both passed together. And one of the things they learned in the class that Eric taught them, I'll never forget him telling me this, they learned that in Florida you don't need a concealed carry permit to keep a gun in the car for self-defense. Also noteworthy, as we progress through the rest of this segment, which only have a few more seconds left, and then into the next as I wrap this one up. But they got their CCW paperwork. They kept the revolver in the car for their protection, and they waited for their Florida licenses to arrive. They arrived, or they were waiting for them to arrive. Meanwhile, they kept the gun in the car. That was on April 30th. I'm going to take you to the early morning of Saturday, May 6th, when we come back here on the Armed American Radio Network. Prepare. It's a devastating account of human drama. We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right, I got to send you over to usccaonair.com, usccaonair.com. Today's Gun of Day giveaway is a Kimber Desert Warrior TFS. It's valued at $1,586. It's a gorgeous gun. Again, all you have to do is visit usccaonair.com, activate one of three Self-Defense Shield memberships, silver, gold, or platinum, up to $1.125 million in protection. Minimum of $300,000 in protection. Maximum $1.125 million in protection. Activate a self-defense shield, which you should have. Believe me, if you're carrying a gun, you should have it. You might hear why in this story here. Wasn't thinking about putting the two of them together, but you can do that yourself. And you might win the gun a day. The gun a day is the Kimber Desert Warrior TFS, valued at $1,586. If you don't win the gun, three grand prize winners will be picked at the end of the month. So you still have some time here. Even if you don't like the Kimber and you want to wait till tomorrow, you can do that. But three winners will win the grand prize of free ammo for life. It's $45,000 value. So make sure to check it out. All the information is right there at usccaonair.com.
Continuing with the Jorick Landry story, I'm going to take you to the early morning Saturday of May 6th. Vernalise and Jorick wanted to put their children in a camp. They have three children. The youngest was two. The oldest was, I believe, 10. They wanted to put him in a camp, give mom a break while dad's overseas for months. So she contacted McGirt's Park to sign the kids up for a camp. And I guess the sign-up was at McGirt's Park in or outside of Jacksonville. And she was told these slots are limited slots. They go quick. People, it's not unusual for people to start lining up the night before. So Vernalise put the kids in the SUV and headed out to McGirt's Park. They wanted to assure themselves spots for the kids at the camp. So she and the kids arrived early, about 1:30 in the morning. She sat in the driver's seat. She didn't feel comfortable. So she went back and picked up Jorick is what happened. They went back to the park, re-arriving back at the park at about 1:30 in the morning. So Vernalise sat in the driver's seat with Jorick in the passenger seat, her husband. Zacchaeus, 7 years old, sat in the middle back seat. They were in an SUV and it had a third row. And in the back, 10-year-old Dravon was keeping himself busy playing a video game. That's when the family met evil. How many times do I have to tell you evil exists? This is when the family met evil. They were actually talking about the husband and wife. This is theater of the mind, so walk with me here. Jorick and Vernalise were talking about how there was no one else there. She had been told that people lined up early. Here it was 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. And they were the only folks waiting for anybody to sign up. And that's when she saw it. As she was talking to Jorick, on the other side of the glass, mind you, he was in the passenger seat of the SUV. She's in the driver's seat. She's got a 2-year-old in her lap. He showed up and showed his face. Was a young man wearing a mask and dark clothing. He had approached the passenger side of the window, pumping a shotgun and sending a live round into the chamber as a message to Jorick, who was sitting inside the vehicle on the other side of that glass. Then he screamed at Jorick, quoting, to give him everything he had. So here's Jorick Landry with a loaded shotgun pointed directly at his face and a madman screaming for his wallet from outside the vehicle. So Vernalise, petrified, offers the crazed punk everything they've got. He yelled at her, told her to shut up, and she begged him for mercy, saying she had children in the car. The moment she did that, evil's face lit up, and he said, kids, show me some kids. But he used some very colorful language. He looked into the back of the SUV. He saw Zacchaeus in the back seat and began forcing his way into the car, to the SUV. Mind you, they had now had, and they had learned this a week earlier, a loaded revolver, 4-inch revolver, inside the console. Evil is forcing his way into the vehicle. Jorick reached behind him to try to stop it. Loaded shotgun entering the vehicle. I want you to walk with me. I want you to picture the scene. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this, your child in the back seat. Your 2-year-old on your lap. You in the driver's seat. Your husband next to you. Jorick was frantically reaching for the console. He couldn't get at it. His wife reached over, flipped it open, and tossed the handgun over to Jorick, dropping her daughter down to the front seat on the floor. Shotgun got into the car next to the 7-year-old son, forced his way in. Jorick grabbed the handgun, swung around between the window and the seat. Vernalise, in what I can only describe as an incredible act of bravery, reached behind her seat over the console, grabbed the muzzle of the shotgun, forced it into the floor when it went off. Two shots were fired from the shotgun when her husband, Jorick, opened up with the revolver. I want you to imagine that violence occurring inside a vehicle with your three kids at 1:30 in the morning. Think about that. Imagine two shotgun blasts inside your vehicle. Your husband's revolver firing, your children in the car. Evil fell out of the vehicle, wounded, onto the pavement. Jorick emptied the revolver into him. He was able to grab control of the shotgun, get outside the vehicle. Vernalise grabbed the children and got out the other side of the car. Jorick Landry pointed the shotgun on the ground at Evil and said, "Why did you do this to my family?" And Evil has a name, Jabre Devias Jones, said, "Because I needed the money. Because I needed the money." Reaching into what appeared to be his back pocket for another gun or inside his waistband, Jorick ordered him to stop, stop, stop. He didn't. Jorick opened up with another shotgun blast at point blank into the man's lower back. On the phone with 911, sirens screaming through, Jorick takes the phone from his wife and is telling 911 dispatchers what is happening. Upon arrival, he throws the gun down to the ground, complies with commands of law enforcement, lays face down. I want you to think about this. Vernalise is on the other side of the car screaming for her son, Drayvon. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? He never got out of the vehicle. EMS begins attending to the mortally wounded criminal when Jorick yells, "My son's in the back of the car. My son's in the back of the car." They then turn their attention towards his son, who suffered a bullet wound to his forehead. Hit by a ricocheting round later, after analysis, from a seatbelt that entered the criminal's forearm, hit a seatbelt latch, and hit their son in the back of the SUV. Drayvon would die a week later. Jorick Landry would later tell me in subsequent interviews and in the original interview I did with him that he was at peace, that he knew, that his son knew that his family was alive because of the actions of his father. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will continue tomorrow and the rest of the week. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never do it. Never go unarmed.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense,
from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.